You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
And up until this date, all these years we've been doing this, we've never had to tell anybody that came to us and had a need that we just didn't have the money. Now, in my lifetime, I've had to tell a lot of people I didn't have the money. But we've never had to do that here, and I'm thankful for that. God's always provided. Now, sometime we didn't have any to take over to next week. We had to start anew, but that's okay. We always provide. I'm going to introduce our speaker, and then Brother Charles is going to come and bring special music, and then our speaker is going to come. In 1995, we were over at a church doing an angel tree wrapping party. And a gentleman come up to me and introduced himself, and he said, "I want to thank you for helping my kids while I've been away in prison at the Angel Tree program." Little did I know that night of meeting this guy would turn into a great relationship that I'm proud to be a part of. Wayne got an Angel Tree program started in his own church. There's two or three things that I've been extremely impressed about him over 20 years. Number one, when he got saved right before he went to trial, and he walked into his attorney and said, "I'm guilty." And the attorney said, "You can't do that. We got it won." He said, "No, I'm guilty." And I'll let him, if he wants to elaborate on that, he can tell you about it. Secondly, he's always had a church home. He's never been a lone ranger. He's never done what he's going to do without having a pastor that he looked to. Wayne came to our Monday night Bible study. He did 9 on the 25. And you're off paper now, aren't you? Yeah, great. He's down now in southeast Texas, down between Houston and Beaumont, doing ministry. He's always done ministry, served the Lord, and then he called me. He's got a son that lives here. And he said, "I'm going to be back in Odessa." He was back here, I think, last year. I forget how long ago it was. When?
August
of last year. And I asked Wayne to speak for us. And he said, "I'll be back." And I said, "I want you to speak for me. I want you to listen to this guy. He walks the walk. And for that, I'm proud to be his friend." And so Brother Charles is going to come and sing. And then Wayne Anderson is going to come and share with you whatever God lays on his heart. Thank you.
Dylan, I'm going to play my guitar tonight. I got the okay last week from my physical therapist. He said if you wait one more week, you can play on the Finn guitar. I still can't play on my Martin guitar, but you know what? I like to play this one too, so I don't care. But those of you that don't know, I had shoulder surgery about 10 weeks ago now, and it's really hard for a guitar player to sing and not get to play. So this is kind of an older song. I don't know, you may not have ever heard it. It's written by a guy named Ike Davis, and he wrote some really good songs. We were rehearsing it a little bit ago, and John said, "You know what that sounds like? Sounds like every other country song I've ever heard." Well, I'm sorry if that's what I do. Fallen man. Someone tells the story of Christ's great love and how he took my place. He died upon the cross. Oh, how I praise him. I am redeemed. Behold, I stand. Someone tells the story of Christ's great love and how he took my place. He died upon the cross. Oh, how I praise him. I am redeemed. Behold, I stand. I stand amazed how by his Holy Spirit he comforts hearts when disappointments come, and grace renewed is found to fight the battle, and grace anew. Till he calls me home, I stand amazed as someone tells the story of Christ's great love and how he took my place. He died upon the cross. Oh, how I praise him. I am redeemed. Behold, I stand amazed. I am redeemed. Behold, I stand amazed. Thank y'all so much. Boy, it's good to play again.
Well, it's good to be back here again. As my brother Leland said, I am Wayne Anderson. July 21st, 1986, I was in a courtroom here in Hector County. And the judge told me, he says, "Mr. Anderson, we have several mutual friends." He said, "However, I sentence you to 4 aggravated 25 years in TDC. He said 1, but there was actually 4. I said, "Thank you," and turned around and was let off. How did I get there? See, I never was in trouble. He said we had several mutual friends. The treasurer on his re-election campaign was in that courtroom that day as a character witness for me. I'm not saying I never did anything wrong. I just never was caught. But my life was not one of being a criminal. But see, I got there because I'm a lot like a lot of the people in here. I played church. I told people what they wanted to hear. I played with God. In Galatians 7, 6, 7, and 8, the scripture says that do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature he will reap destruction. But the one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit he will reap eternal salvation. I was mocking God by the double life I lived. In early 1982, I was helping a friend of mine who was a pastor at a local church down here on Golder Avenue. I'd roll up there in my car and I'd put out a joint, splash on some cologne, and go in there and give him a hand, help him. And one day that friend of mine, he asked me, he said, "Wayne, do you know Jesus as your Savior?" I said, "No." First time I was ever honest in my life about that. I said, no. And he said, "Would you like to?" And I said, "No. I like the life I was living. I like the drugs, the alcohol, and everything else that I was involved in. I was happy. But you know, from that day on, I can chronicle my life as going downhill." It speaks to it very simply in Romans. If you look in chapter 1, verses 18 down through 26, he said, "Because you did not believe in me, I give you over to the desires of your heart." See, God didn't quit loving me. He just says, "You want to do it your way? Go right ahead." And he just backed off from me. He still loved me. He's waiting on me. But he says, "Have it your way." In August 1985, I was taken down to the sheriff's department and charged. Got a good lawyer. Matter of fact, he's one of the most prominent lawyers in Odessa right now. He wasn't when I contacted him. I kind of feel like I lost his career. But I went to him and I told him the whole story and everything. He says, "No sweat." He says, "We got this thing made." He says, "This is what I need you to do." He says, "I need you to get into a church and start building up some character witnesses." He says, "And that way when we go into court, you'll have all these people tell me how good you are and how supportive of the community that you are." After about a month, I took him up on his advice, and I did. Went to a little church out in South Odessa. Young pastor, fresh out of seminary. Had no idea he needed to be leery of me. He was too full of the good things that he'd been taught. He hadn't had life experience yet. Hadn't been burned yet. But I got involved in that little church and went on working. And he just kept on preaching, loving me. People in the church loved me. December 15, 1985, ran outside of Andrews toward Patricia, Texas, 2 o'clock in the morning. I was coming in off a job. I was hiring a cat, sitting there hitting my one hitter just as fast as I could, listening to some good old rock music. And God touched me. In that drug-induced stupor that I was in, God touched me. And for the very first time, I understood who I was and what I had become. And I said, "God, I don't want to be me anymore." It's like everyone here, we've all heard the gospel before. Sometimes daily we hear the gospel. But it just goes in one ear and out the other one. That morning, the gospel became real for me. I realized that I don't want to be me anymore. I didn't want the life that I said I wanted. I didn't want to be the person I had become. And there was only one way for that to change. And that was Jesus Christ. I knew that. I didn't say the sinner's prayer. I just said, God, I don't want to be me anymore. And he honored those few words. I rolled down my window, whatever dope I had on me right then and there, I threw it out the window. When I got home, I burned everything, poured everything out. God changed me that night. But being the religious person that I had been all my life, I knew that it was easy to continue to be religious. I had to be held accountable. So I went to my young pastor. I said, Pastor David, you know they've got these charges against me. He said, yeah, you're not guilty. That's what you told me. And I said, well, I said, last night, I said, I gave my heart to the Lord. And I said, Pastor, I said, I'm guilty. Of everything they said about me, I said, I'm guilty. I said, what do I do? He says, I don't know. And that's the last thing you want to hear from your pastor, says, I don't know. See, I grew up in the Nazarene church, First Church of Nazarene, right over here, Lindale. When I was growing up, we did Bible quizzes. You know, we'd study several books of the Bible, and we'd go off and we'd have these quizzes. They'd fire all these answers to you, and you just answer them right off the top of your head. For years and years and years and years, I was top in the state of Texas. But what Pastor told me, he says, you need to get alone with God and ask God what to do. All those years I had studied the Bible, memorized Scripture and everything, I had never looked at Scripture for a way. But I did what he told me to do. He's my pastor. And so I started reading the book of John. I'd go out on jobs. I'd be out there 24, 36 hours at a time out in the oil field. And when I got to John 8, God spoke to me. If you're truly my disciple, if you're truly my disciple, not the words that you've told people in the past, not what you try to make people believe, but if you're truly my disciple, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And if the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. That one word, truth, rang out to me. So I went back to my pastor. I said, David, I said, I heard from God last night. He said, what did he tell you? He said, you're going to jail. And I told him what I felt like the Scripture was telling me. So I went and met with my lawyer. I said, Mike, I says, I'm in a church. Got all these character witnesses you're looking for. I said, but I gave my heart to the Lord. And I said, we can no longer plead not guilty. No one hates to lose worse than a lawyer does. And I just dealt him a losing hand. And he went off on me. He says, Wayne, he says, you don't have to plead not guilty. I plead for you. I said, but when you speak, I speak. Because I'm telling you what to speak. He said, but we've got this made. He said, we've got this beat. There's no evidence. Nothing is going to convict you. I said, I'm already convicted. I said, we are going to plead guilty. And so, beginning in June, the trial started and lasted 2 days. 2 hours, actually. Come back in July for sentencing. But in June, judge says, Mr. Anderson, how do you plead? I said, I plead guilty. I had plea bargains on the table and I refused them. Because I felt like if I was truly going to be God's disciple, I had to tell the truth. Because had I not, I could have very easily walked out of that courtroom and gone back into the life that Christ had saved me out of. I committed myself to Jesus Christ that day. In 1 John 1:9, he says, if you confess your sins, I am faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. It was that cleansing that gave me the boldness to do what I had to do, because I didn't want to do that. I was not a brave person. I never worked offshore because I could not stand to be confined in that small space. It's a lot bigger than a jail cell. But that's the way I was. But God changed all that night. He gave me that spirit of boldness. And for the first time in my life, when I walked out of that courtroom into that jail, because I never was in there before because I posted bond and walked right back out, when they slammed those doors on me, if I had known the song back then, I would have sung, "It is well with my soul." I didn't understand it, but it was well. And for the next 9.5 years, I did walk with the Lord. I stood up for the faith. I got out in 95, just days before I came up here. Got off parole in 2010. A week later, I went to Sturgis on a motorcycle, expecting to see the cops waiting at the border for me, saying, "I've fooled you." Romans 5:8 says that God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I was stoned the night I gave my life to the Lord, but He still honored that prayer. It says in Colossians that while we were enemies of God in our minds, Christ died for us. He sent a Son. He reconciled us. That's how great God's love is for us. We don't have to wait to be cleaned up. We don't have to wait until we get off parole. We don't have to wait until we get straight. We don't have to wait for anything. God does it for us. All He asks is that we come to Him. I go back into prison now. This is the first weekend I'm not there. To a Bible study in the women's unit and Henley unit. But it breaks my heart when I go from a state jail into a TDC jail and I see the ladies, the guys that were in my services on the state jail level. A young man by the name of John Glenn Moody. He was down on a little 5-year sit, did 7 months on it. It was his 18th, 19th time down, but always minor stuff. He came to the chapel. He said, "I'm on the chain in the morning." I said, "Great." He said, "I'm not ready to leave." He said, "I'm not ready to leave." I said, "You don't have a choice." I said, "Get out, find your church. Get rooted in a church. A pastor that loves you, that preaches to you. He may be preaching to your guy next door, but he's going to be preaching to you." John Glenn Moody. 2 months later, raped, beat, and murdered a lady about 78 years old. He was executed in 98. I was going through my photo album the other day and I read a poem that he wrote while he was in TDC with us. My question today, how long are you going to reject God? How long are you going to play games? How many times does it take back into prison before we wake up? How long can we deny the love of God that He would give His only Son for us? They had 10 men or 9 men killed in Waco recently. Two rival gangs, clubs. How many of those two clubs would have said, wait, don't shoot him, shoot me instead? None. Not a one would have died for the rival club. But Christ died for us while we were still enemies of Him. He died for us. And He's waiting today for you to die to Him. And that's all it takes. And that's all it takes is a surrender. We have 15 minutes. This is what I do in prison. We'll give an altar call. We have 15 minutes. If you don't know Jesus Christ today, I'm going to give you this promise, and I think I can do it. You got 15 minutes, I can guarantee your life. I can guarantee that you'll walk out these doors in 15 minutes. But what happens after that, I don't know. I have no control over it. You have no control over it. If you come here on a bus could be hit on the way back. If you come here on a car could be hit on the way back. I saw a couple walking across the street a while ago. You could get hit walking back across the street. But right now, in this sanctuary, we have the presence of God. We have the Holy Spirit's protection. Because He says, I don't wish no man to perish, but everyone come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So there's no way anything's going to happen here for the next 15 minutes. But if you reject Him, and you're not rejecting me, you're not rejecting Leland, you're not rejecting the REC program, you're rejecting God. You're looking them dead in the face saying, I don't want you, I do not need you. I don't need the blood of Christ. And His death means nothing to me. You say, Wayne, that's a hard thing to say. Yes, it is. But it's the truth. And that's all I speak is truth. On this Bible, a guy made this design for me while I was still in TDC. And the last thing I did before I left there was put this thing on this Bible. Because this is the Bible I took into TDC. This is the Bible I took out of TDC. And it's the state of Texas with the TDC bars across it, with the cross of Christ coming up to unlock those doors. Because that's the only thing that keeps people from going back, is the cross of Christ. And that prison may not be just TDC. It can be prostitution. It can be drugs. It could be meth. It could be alcohol. whatever that bar is, that prison is, for you here tonight, it's the cross of Christ that can unlock that door and stay unlocked. I know. Been there, done that. 428737. Got the number. And I'm not looking back. Minutes. Leland?
Just bow our heads, our heads bowed, our eyes closed. Nobody look at me.
You heard Wayne's heart. And he's giving you a challenge. What are you going to do with it? With our heads bowed, our eyes closed.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.